Hazel Dark and Owen Deathstalker? About time you got here. I've been expecting you.
Hazel and Owen were still deciding how to react to that when the huge figure stepped back from the doorway and gestured impatiently for them to enter. They did so, giving him plenty of room, and he sniffed again as he slammed the door shut behind them and locked it. Owen started to draw his disruptor, but stopped when Hazel put a firm hand on his arm. The huge figure stomped back in front of them and produced something that might have been intended as a smile.
I'm Chance. I run Abraxas. Take a look around, and I'll be with you in a minute.
He moved off without waiting for an answer. Owen had a few in mind anyway, only to forget them as he got his first good look at the people who made up the Abraxas Information Center. There were no computers or comm units, no runners or technicians. Instead, two lines of ramshackle cots filled the long narrow room, pressed close together, with a central aisle between them. On the cots, children lay sleeping. They all had intravenous drips plugged into their arms, though their bony forms and skeletal faces suggested they weren't getting much nourishment from them. They also had catheters leading out from under the thick blankets that covered them, dripping into filthy bottles by the beds. How long have they been here like this? Thought Owen, and moved reluctantly closer to get a better look. Hazel stuck close beside him. The children ranged from toddlers of 4 or 5 to some who appeared to have just entered their teens. They twitched and turned in their sleep or comas, but their faces seemed somehow intent, focused, and their eyes rolled under their closed eyelids. Some seemed to be muttering to themselves. Two middle-aged women, who looked more like charladies than nurses, moved unhurriedly along the rows of cots, checking the catheters and IVs, emptying and filling where necessary, but otherwise paying the children no attention. Some of them were secured to their cots with thick leather restraining straps. Owen felt sick, and a growing rage burned within him. He didn't understand what was going on here, but he didn't need to understand to hate it. No one had the right to treat children in such an inhuman manner. The sword leapt from his scabbard with a harsh, rasping sound, and he started down the central aisle with murder in his eyes. Chance was checking through papers on a desk at the far end of the room. He didn't look up as Owen advanced on him, and then Hazel grabbed his sword arm and pulled him to a halt.
Hold it, Owen. You don't understand.
I understand these children are in hell.
Yes, maybe they are. But there's a purpose to this. I've seen this kind of thing before.
Owen hefted his sword, and then lowered it again. All right. Explain it to me.
Chance could do it better. Stay here and I'll go get him. Promise you won't do anything till you know the whole story?
No promises. Get Chance. And tell him if I don't like what he has to tell me, I'm going to kill him right here and now.
Hazel patted his arm reassuringly, as one would an angry, dangerous dog, and hurried down the central aisle toward Chance. Owen's hand clenched tightly round his sword hilt in rage and frustration. He'd never seen anything like this, even in the worst hell spots of the Empire, and he was damned if he'd let it continue. He walked slowly down the aisle, looking from face to face, seeing only a kind of desperation in their gaunt features. One young teenager was stirring restlessly under his restraining straps, muttering fiercely to himself. Owen leaned over the bed to listen to the quiet, breathy voice.
Brave notes and screaming shocks. The pale Harlequins are swarming again. Dear lost shoes and delicate monks are dancing round the summer stone.
Owen straightened up, obscurely disturbed. It was clearly gibberish, but it bordered on the edge of meaning, as though he might understand it if he just listened long enough. He looked up to see Hazel coming back with Chance, and raised his sword just a little. The two of them stopped a respectful distance away, though Hazel seemed more impressed by the drawn sword than Chance. Owen smiled coldly at the big man. It didn't matter how big he was or what he had to say. Someone was going to pay for what had been done to the children.
The restraining straps are there to protect them. The children are espers, but they can't always handle what their minds show them. One boy clawed out his eyes rather than see. I don't take chances with them anymore. All these children are retarded to some extent or other. Idiot savants with limitless memories and wide-ranging telepathy. Their minds roam freely out over the city while their bodies rest here, trawling the thoughts of the population and picking out what nuggets of information I require. Their families sell them to me where they can no longer look after them, and I put them to work. There's no room on Mistworld for the weak or the handicapped. If they weren't espers, and therefore potentially useful, they'd just be abandoned in the cold and left to die. As it is, I look after them, and they look after me. Few of them last long. By the time I get them, they've already had hard, brutal lives. Fortunately for me, there are always more to replace those who burn out. Don't look at me that way, Deathstalker. I care for them all while they're with me. What comes before and after is beyond my help. Perhaps now we can get down to business. My children told me you'd be coming, and why. You don't have much time. If my espers knew you'd be here, you can bet that others do, too. The penalty of living in a city full of telepaths with loose lips is that there's damn all privacy. Not that I have any right to complain, of course. It is, after all, how I make my living. You needn't worry about payment. The previous Lord Deathstalker had an account with us. He left instructions that if you ever turned up here looking for help, I was to assist you in locating Jack Random and send you to him. Are you going to stand there holding that sword all day, Deathstalker, or will you allow us to help you?
I'm still thinking about it. How did you link up with my father?
He made Abraxas possible. It was my idea, but his money. He saw the advantages right off, and all I had to do to repay him was make sure he got a copy of whatever information my children turned up. Your father was a visionary, never afraid to experiment.
He was never afraid to make a profit. Usually at someone else's expense. Owen reluctantly sheathed his sword. How many children have died here since you started Abraxas?
Too many. But they would have died anyway. I keep them alive as long as I can. It's in my interest to do so.
Owen looked at Hazel. You're being very quiet. Don't tell me you approve of this obscenity.
This is Mistworld, Aristo. Things are different here. If sometimes we're hard and cold, it's because we have to be to survive outside the Empire. If we ever weaken, even for a moment, the Iron Bitch will wipe us out down to the last man, woman, and child. She's done it before on other planets. You know she has.
Owen looked away, his eyes moving from one small sleeping form to another. And there was only room in him for a bitter helplessness.
Ask them. Ask them where Jack Random is.
Chance nodded and strode slowly down the center aisle, looking from one side to the other, pausing now and then to study a particular twitching face before moving on. He finally stopped by a boy who looked to be 12 years old. The young Esper was scrawny to the point of malnourishment, and his bony face was slick with a sheen of sweat. He was mumbling quickly, breathlessly, his head rolling limply from side to side. He'd somehow managed to pull the IV out of his arm, despite the thick restraining straps, and Chance put it back with practiced ease. He knelt down beside the bed and put his mouth as close to the boy's ear as he could. He talked slowly, smoothly, and his quiet voice seemed to calm the Esper a little. The boy stopped mumbling and shaking his head and fighting the straps. His eyes stared straight ahead, seeing nothing, or perhaps everything. Owen and Hazel moved forward, and Chance gestured brusquely for them to stay where they were. He produced a small twist of paper from his pocket, took something from it, and placed it in the Esper's mouth. Owen thought at first it was a pill, and only slowly realized from the movements of the boy's mouth that it had been a piece of candy. Chance put his mouth right next to the Esper's ear.
Come on, Johnny boy. You can do it. Do it for Chance. I've got another treat for you. Got it right here. Just find the man for me, Johnny. Find the man called Jack Random.
He murmured on and on, never raising his voice, never stopping, quiet but persistent. And finally, the boy spoke calmly and clearly.
You want the Rebel, the name that is known everywhere, the disruptor of systems, but he is not to be found. Jack Random has another name now, and another life. The Empire's hounds came too close too often, and he went to ground. Go look in his hole, his hiding place. Go to the Olympus Health Spa, down on Riverside, and ask for Job Ironhand. He won't want to talk, so it's up to you to be convincing.
He broke off and turned his head to look at Owen and Hazel with his all-seeing eyes.
I see you, Deathstalker. Destiny has you in its clutches, struggle how you may. You will tumble an empire. See the end of everything you ever believed in. And you'll do it all for a love you'll never know. And when it's over, you'll die alone, far from friends and succor.
That's enough, Johnny.
The Esper closed his disquieting eyes and turned his head away, and his words became quiet and meaningless again. Chance got to his feet and rejoined Owen and Hazel.
Don't take too much notice of that last bit. A lot of my children claim to get glimpses of the future now and again, but they've been proved wrong as often as right. Otherwise, I'd have been a rich man by now.
I've no plans to die any time soon. I've been on borrowed time anyway, ever since Hazel saved my ass on Virimond. Let's get out of here, Hazel. This place gives me the creeps.
Chance shrugged.
Nothing keeping you here, Deathstalker. You've got your name and address all paid for in advance. The rest of the money in your father's account will go toward keeping me quiet about your visit and your destination. I do regret the necessity, but times are hard, and an honest man must turn a credit where he can. I'm sure you understand.
He broke off abruptly as Owen reached out, took a good handful of Chance's leathers, and lifted him up on his toes. Owen stuck his face into Chance's and smiled unpleasantly.
You understand me, Chance. You breathe a word about me to anyone at all, and you'd better pray that they make a real good job of killing me. Because otherwise, I'll find you wherever you run and kill you by inches. Got it?
And then, without looking round, he slowly noticed that something had changed. It was very quiet, very still, and he suddenly realized that the sleeping Espers had stopped muttering. Without releasing his hold on Chance, he looked around him. The Espers had raised their heads, and they were all looking at him, their faces cold and focused and entirely menacing.
Put him down, Owen. Please, put him down.
Owen let go of Chance and stepped back. He didn't even try to draw his sword or his disruptor. He somehow knew they wouldn't be able to help him. The feeling of menace was thick on the air, and a slow power burned beneath it. Chance readjusted his clothing fussily and sniffed at Owen.
My children protect me, Deathstalker. Always. I suggest you leave now, before they decide to do something unpleasant and terminal to you.
Time to go. He's not joking, Owen. Those kids are dangerous.
So am I. I'm a Deathstalker, Chance, and don't you ever forget it.
The Empress took your name away.
Owen smiled coldly.
It wasn't hers to take. I'm a Deathstalker until I die, and we never forget a slight or an enemy.
Chance looked down his nose at him.
That's what your father said to me the last time he was here.
I'm not my father. I fight dirty.
He turned and left, with Hazel close behind him. The Espers on their cots watched them go, their heads turning as one.
Owen, whatever else you do or don't do in Mistport, the one thing you should never do is get an Esper mad at you, let alone a whole crowd of crazy Espers. There are an awful lot of ways they can make life unpleasant and suddenly short for you. If you're going to continue taking risks like that, please give me plenty of warning so I can completely disassociate myself from you.
I don't get it, said Owen, his fingers tightening angrily around his sword hilt. He exploits those children, burns up what's left of their lives, and yet they were ready to defend him.
You don't have to get it. All you have to remember is to keep your nose out of other people's business or someone will cut it off. Mistport is like that, mostly.
Owen sighed and shook his head.
All right. Where are we going now? You said the health spot we want was due north of Abraxas, and according to my internal compass, we are currently heading southwest.
Hazel looked at him.
You have an internal compass? I didn't know I was walking around with a Haydenman. What else have you got hidden in your plumbing that I don't know about?
Never you mind, and don't change the subject. Where are we going?
I want to stop off somewhere first. Just in case the random deal doesn't pan out, I'll feel happier if we've got a backup. Ruby Journey used to be a red-hot bounty hunter, and she owes me several large favors. If anyone will know how to hide and protect us, it'll be her. Unfortunately, she doesn't seem to be in any of her usual haunts, which leaves only one place worth checking. All bounty hunters on Mistworld have to be licensed, on the principle that if you can't control it, tax it. The center for issuing those licenses is just down this street and around the corner. Unless they've moved it again. People keep firebombing it on general principles.
Owen considered this silently as Hazel led the way confidently down the street and around the corner. He was pretty sure they were being followed, but so far no one had made any moves. He was beginning to wish someone would, just so he could react. Owen was seriously considering turning around suddenly and shouting boo very loudly just to see who'd jump and where, when Hazel came to a sudden halt. Owen stopped with her and studied the new premises thoughtfully. He'd seen worse, mostly in Mistport. The new location was definitely more upscale than the last, not that this would have been difficult. Presumably, the bounty hunter business was booming in Mistport. It was a big building, with curlicued decorations and scrollwork, and people going in and out in a steady stream. Hazel strode in through the open double doors as though she owned the place, and Owen hurried after her. They were immediately caught up in the complete chaos filling the huge lobby from wall to wall. Everywhere Owen looked, there were desks and tables buried under piles of paper, and people running back and forth between the desks as though their lives depended on it. This being Mistport, thought Owen, perhaps they did. A large crowd of all sorts and types took up all the remaining space, shouting at the people behind the desks and each other with equal volume and tenacity. The walls were covered with overlapping wanted posters, and up on the ceiling, someone had painted a series of large murals depicting the human body in some detail, and the best places to hit it with large pointed things. The din was deafening, the air was hot and sweaty, and the smell was indescribable. Hazel plowed right through the middle of it, making liberal use of her fists and elbows to get some room. Apparently this was common practice, or at least common enough that only a few people reached for their swords, and by then she was already gone. Owen stuck close behind her, muttering polite apologies that no one heard, and glaring at anyone who didn't put their sword away fast enough. It was a good glare. Owen had had lots of chances to practice and perfect it since he'd come to Mistworld. It was a carefully balanced mixture of rage and imminent violence, with just a touch of outright insanity. By the time he was halfway through the crowd, people were backing away to avoid him. He ended up at Hazel's side in front of a desk at the rear of the room. It had two trays, marked in and urgent, and there were piles of paper everywhere. Much of it had the rough look of cheap recycling, and Owen was intrigued to note that most of them were covered with handwritten texts. In the circles he was used to moving in, handwritten notes tended to be few and far between, being usually reserved for spies and lovers. The man sitting behind the desk was a small, intense figure with a put-upon face and a permanent scowl. He was casually dressed to the point of carelessness, and his thick black hair stuck out at angles, as though he tugged at it a lot. Hazel smiled at him charmingly, and the clerk stared back at her with equal parts desperation and apoplexy. Hazel opened her mouth to speak, and he beat her to it in a loud, carrying voice that cut through the general din.
I don't know! Whatever it is, I don't know, and I don't care! I am up to my lower lip in paperwork and sinking fast! Go away! Come back next week, or next month, or not at all, see if I care! Why are you still standing there?
I only want one name.
That's what everyone says! Do you know how much work it takes to track down just one name? No, of course you don't. And you don't care either, do you?
No one cares. No one appreciates you here. The lunch break's a joke. There's only one toilet, and the pay's rotten. I'd quit if it wasn't for the pension. And the constant chances to screw up people's lives.
I see my job as a kind of revenge against an uncaring society. It's either this or planting explosives in public places. And explosives are expensive.
Why are you still here?
Why is anybody here? Look, can we save the existentialism for later? Just find me a name and an address to go with it, and we'll go away and leave you alone. Wouldn't that be nice? And not only that, if you help us, I can definitely promise to restrain my companion here from picking up all those papers in front of you and scattering them to the four corners of the room.
The clerk grabbed the nearest pile protectively.
That's right. Threaten me. Intimidate me. Who am I? Just a clerk, a minor cog in the great wheel. Oh, I can feel one of my funny turns coming on.
How about if we offered you a small payment?
How about if you offered a big payment?
Hazel produced a large silver coin from her purse and dropped it onto the desk before him. The clerk looked at it sadly. Hazel had to add three more before he sighed deeply and scooped up the coins with a practiced sweep of the hand.
All right. Give me the name. I'm not promising anything, mind.
Ruby Journey.
Oh. Why didn't you say? She's working as a bouncer down at the Rabid Wolf, and long may she stay there, well away from civilized people. It's been ever so peaceful around here since she moved. When you find her, remind her that her license runs out next week. I should do it from a safe distance, mind.
Now go away and upset somebody else! I have papers to shuffle and civil insurrection to plan!
He picked up the nearest piece of paper and stared at it fixedly. Owen and Hazel exchanged a look, and then shoved, elbowed, and intimidated their way back through the crowd and out into the calm and quiet of the street.
Well, that was different. So you and this Ruby Journey go back a long way, then,
said Owen as they set off down the street. He couldn't help noticing that they still weren't heading north.
I had a try at bounty hunting myself. I didn't last long. I was too soft. Kept bringing them in alive, and there's no money in that. Ruby was my sponsor and mentor at the time. A good friend, if a trifle unpredictable. I can't believe things have got so bad for her that she's been forced to work as a bouncer. Mind you, I bet she's a good one. No one would argue with her twice.
Owen and Hazel trudged off down the street, lost in their separate thoughts, and never saw the hooded figure with a crossbow rise up from an overlooking balcony and draw a bead on Owen's unprotected back. The assassin's finger tightened on the release, and a stone from Cat's slingshot hit him right between the eyes. He fell backward out of sight, and the arrow disappeared into the mists. The cat shrieked briefly in outrage. Cat, the roof runner, grinned and recovered his balance on the outcropping gable he was crouching on opposite the balcony. Funny thing about assassins, it never seemed to occur to them that while they were stalking someone, someone else might be stalking them. This was the 17th bounty hunter he'd deterred, and he was running out of stratagems, not to mention stones for his slingshot. He wished Owen and Hazel would work out where they wanted to be and settle there. It was hard work tracking them across the city, jumping from roof to roof, and taking care of the apparently endless stream of would-be assassins who dogged their trail. And now they were off again, heading even deeper into Thieves' Quarter, into areas people usually had enough sense to leave well enough alone. Cat sighed heavily and set off after them, eyes alert for further dangers. He hoped Cider had some plan to make money out of these people. He'd hate to think he was doing all this for nothing. The Rabid Wolf was a festering dump tucked away up a side street with no lighting, as though even the street was ashamed of its presence. The only light came from a brazier burning unattended halfway down the street. Owen wasn't sure what was actually burning in the brazier, but it smelled awful. Also, from the look of the street, several horses had recently taken the time to use the street as a toilet. At least, he hoped it was horses. He looked at Hazel, who was looking calmly down the street as though she'd seen worse. We don't really have to go down there, do we? It's going to ruin my boots.
Don't be such a wimp, Owen. Just watch where you're treading and don't talk to any strange women and you'll be fine.
She set off down the street, and Owen followed her, being very careful where he put his feet. The rabid wolf looked as though it had seen a great deal of hard use down the years, not to mention the occasional firebombing and outbreak of plague. The open door was guarded by a huge, hulking figure with bulging muscles and glandular problems. Hazel walked right up to it, stuck her face into its, and the two of them exchanged tough sounds for a moment, just to establish they were both hard, desperate types, and then Hazel slipped the figure a coin, and it stepped back from the door to let Owen and Hazel enter. Hazel stalked past it with her head held high, and Owen hurried after her, keeping a wary eye on the doorkeeper as he dodged past it, his hand never far from his sword. He tried a tentative smile, and the doorkeeper opened its mouth to reveal four sets of gleaming steel teeth, pointed gleaming steel teeth, in neat rows. Owen knew when he'd been outsmiled. He looked away as though he'd meant to all along, and almost bumped into Hazel from behind. She'd stopped just inside the bar, and was looking around with barely disguised nostalgia. Owen wrinkled his nose at the smell, and thought he could detect several kinds of smoke in the air that were banned throughout the Empire on the grounds that they were dangerous to whoever happened to be around when someone else was smoking them. The light was dim, not helped in the least by the thick smog in the air. The inhabitants of the bar looked the kind who preferred it that way. At least if Owen had looked that unsavory, he'd have preferred not to be seen too clearly. There was no sawdust on the floor, presumably because the rats had eaten it. He could see a few of them darting busily about in the far shadows. If one of them runs up my leg, thought Owen, I'm going to scream. Hazel made her way through the smog to the bar, and Owen went after her rather than be left alone. Hazel gestured imperiously at the bartender, a grossly fat man with a long stained apron that might have started out white several decades ago, and grilled him on Ruby Journey's whereabouts. Owen took the opportunity to study the various bottles on display and decided very firmly that he wasn't at all thirsty. And he didn't think he'd ask about bar snacks either. He put his back to the bar and looked about him. He hadn't seen such an assortment of thugs, villains, and general lowlifes in one place since his last visit to the Imperial Court on Golgotha. A handful of ladies of the evening, or ladies of the mid-afternoon to be exact, were gathered together at the other end of the bar, garish and striking in their working paints and finery. They were arguing fiercely over a large purse of money, presumably obtained from the man sleeping beside them with his head on the bar. Owen had to admit that they were rather attractive in a grubby, vicious way, and the beginnings of a fantasy stirred in his mind, and certain parts of his anatomy. Perhaps the rabbit wolf wasn't such a bad place after all.